I thought the best subject to draw from the short gospel we have just read was on the hidden life of Christ. We often speak about the hidden life of Christ, but I believe we seldom reflect on what it means. It is expressed in exactly one verse in St. Luke's Gospel, "And the child grew and became strong and was full of wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." That was before the finding in the temple. 12 years later, not much more. We ask ourselves, what was the hidden life of Christ? Having been born into the world, Jesus chose to remain in obscurity for over 30 years. We're not quite sure how long he remained in Egypt, but that too was a totally hidden life. Unlike other human beings, we must remind ourselves Christ chose consciously, deliberately, he chose to remain in obscurity. I dare say, in fact, I'm absolutely sure that most people do not choose a hidden life. Christ chose to remain unknown, unrecognized, unpublicized. He lived the ordinary life of a child and then a young man, then an adult, at home with Mary and Joseph. We're not even sure when Joseph died. All of this Christ deliberately from all eternity had planned to remain out of sight, and we can add out of mind, of other human beings. No speeches, no public ministry, no preaching, no marvels, just alone with his family. At first sight, we might wonder, what's all of this got to do with our own spiritual lives? Everything. As casually as we speak about the spiritual life, and then go on to describe the various virtues that we're supposed to practice, By verbal definition, the spiritual life is the life of the Spirit. Which by further definition, a spirit is that which cannot be seen, touched, tasted, heard, or felt. The profoundest definition, as far as we poor mortals can define God, is to say he is the hidden God. In English, more's the pity. When something is not important, either trivial or can be ignored, what expression do we use? It doesn't matter. Can you imagine someone saying, it doesn't spirit? What's she talking about? The modern world has come to identify reality with matter. With size, shape, color, texture, speed. With weight. For millions, God knows how many. In our materialistic culture, and that's not just a long adjective, for millions of our people, if a thing cannot be seen, or heard, or touched, or felt, it doesn't exist. How we've got to shake ourselves. And that's the mildest verb I can use. I was almost going to say we must exorcise ourselves. Because if there is one lie that the devil wants to teach human beings, it is the lie of identifying reality and value with the material world that can be sensibly perceived. What then, before we go on, I have a series of lessons after this preliminary introduction of what we are to learn from the hidden life of Jesus Christ. Let's make sure we know the hidden life of Christ was the life of the Spirit of Christ. And Spirit twice over. Jesus Christ, we believe, was the living God. The living God has no size, shape, texture. No wonder the besetting temptation and the constant sin to which the Jews of the old law fell into was idolatry. They could see the idol. They could touch it. That is my description of the idolatry of the modern world, making gods of material things that can be perceived by the senses and measured in space and time. I repeat how we have got to get hold of ourselves. Let's be honest. No matter how long we live in this world, no matter how long, make it 110 years. What is that compared to the millennia of God's eternal existence before we came into the world? And the moment we die, over the years I've come to associate two D's, die and decay. So this body of ours, the figure is going up. It is now over $10 billion a year. It used to be women. It is now men and women spending on cosmetics in our country. Over $10 billion a year. In what? In painting up a corpse. No wonder the saints, including my own fellow Jesuit, Aloysius, when we see pictures of these things, we say to ourselves, how weird. Not weird at all. Having a skull on his desk to remind him that the life of the body is just a thin spectrum line. By comparison with the life of our spirit, and compared to the eternity of God, almost imperceptible. What then was the hidden life of Jesus Christ. It was the hidden life of His Spirit. Christ, we believe, began to redeem the world the moment He was conceived. Let's be sure we hold on to this. Let no over-educated, no intellectually overstuffed theologian rob us of the plain fact of our faith that Jesus Christ began to redeem the world and adore the Heavenly Father and do His will from the moment He was conceived in Mary's womb. The hidden life began there. Now, some lessons. Christ's hidden life was, well, we repeat, a hidden life, but watch the rest of the sentence. Hidden from whom? Hidden from other human beings, except by His choice, Mary and Joseph, and the handful of His fellow Nazarenes. Remember, the moment they came out in public, remember what these Nazarenes tried to do to Him? Remember? They tried to kill Him. The hidden life of Christ tells us, first, that even as the Son of God, by actual calculation, spent 90% of His stay on earth, hidden from the eyes of men, but not, I repeat, not hidden from the eyes of His Heavenly Father. Whatever else we are to be constantly conscious of is that we are being seen. We are being watched. Every moment of our day and night by the living God, from whose eyes nothing is hidden. I have lived too long not to know human nature, having lived with myself for so many years. One of the hardest examinations of conscience we can make is to ask ourselves, how much of what I am doing is doing with an eye to other people? We are only as virtuous, we are only as holy, we we're only as pleasing to God as we behave when we know that nobody changed the sentence. When we know that no human being is watching us. When Shakespeare tells us that man's life on earth is a long life on the stage, he's right. Oh, what actors, and given the audience, actresses, we can be. How eager we are. That's not the right word. How anxious. How preoccupied with what people think of us. How we want acceptance, recognition. It is not that we are concerned what people will do to us or say to us. We are worried even what they will think of us. How much of our lives is filled with what he or she will think. How many hours women will spend primming up. I'm quoting the husbands. Until almost the mirror would want to complain. That's enough. And correspondingly, how dreadfully afraid we are of being rejected. A shoelace gets untied. What do I do? I'm in public. Lord, spare us. All of this is hidden behind the hidden life of Christ, who wants to teach us many things, not the least of which is that our lives, let me say it with all the strength at my command, our lives are to be lived in the presence of God. Instead of, as for so many people, they are lived in the presence of other people. The tyranny of human respect. What virtues did Jesus practice in his hidden life? You name them. It is a litany. Christ lived a life of prayer. The more we associate with people, the more we're in their company, the more we, pardon the expression, get about, the less prayerful our lives are going to be. Christ lived a life of obedience. No heroic deed, just what the child's supposed to do, be obedient. You know as well as I that obedience of a child to his parents, in millions, shall we still call them homes and families, has become a lost art. As commentators on the American scene say, the United States cannot survive, period. Barring what we hope and pray, there'll be a miracle of God's providence that what since the dawn of human history has been the foundation of civilized society, Father, Mother and children obedient to their parents. It takes no prophet to say the days of our country are numbered. Alas, and we pray for the miracle. Once more, children, will behave like children, and not as one distraught father working for the federal government called me up some time ago. He just received a summons from the local civil court to appear before a judge because his daughter reported him to the school counselor as having spoken harshly in reprimanding her, and she was psychologically damaged because the father scolded his, I met the girl, 16-year-old daughter. And the father, with the help of a lawyer, is this still a sane society? Managed to get out of what could have been a jail term, only because I checked out my credentials including my degree in psychology, that I would counsel the Father. My God. Then children can summon their parents before a court, because when they misbehave, and 10 minutes of conversation with a girl I asked the father, "You mean you didn't slap her?" "No. I didn't want to tell the girl what I would have done." Brazen. And God knows, millions of young people are victims of our godless society. But the most important virtue, and the one with which we close this homily, is Christ's virtue of humility that he practiced during his long years of what we casually call his hidden life. St. Ignatius, in his Spiritual Exercises, tells us, "The strategy of the devil has remained unchanged over the years. He gets people to acquire whatever they've got, whether it's money or physical strength or physical beauty or social graces, and then has the people parade the gifts they've got. Why? In order to receive human praise. And then," says Ignatius, "from the praise of people, living on the honor, the flattery, the cheap adulation of human beings, the devil leads people into pride." And concludes Ignatius, "Once he has people becoming victims of pride, he's finished. The devil is done. Then he just uses them like pawns. Proud people are capable of every kind of sin. The three P's: possession, praise, and pride." Never on earth had a man, Christ was a human being with a human nature, possessed of more gifts. He was God by nature, and even as man, St. Paul tells us, in him dwelt the fullness of the divinity. Wisdom, goodness, power, beauty, holiness, yet Christ chose not to parade his possessions. I think the most important lesson we can learn in life. Lord Jesus, help us to meditate on your hidden life so that living among human beings from whom we're so anxious to get praise and by whom we are so dreadfully afraid of being rejected, that we might live as you did always in the presence of God, so that we, believing that God always sees us, now we might merit to see God for all eternity in heaven. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.